You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, welcome to the Beer Tour Guy podcast, episode 31. I'm your host, Steven Johnson, owner-operator of Motor City Brew Tours, Detroit's original beer tour company. And I got a great guest with me today. I got Rachel, and I'm gonna try to say it right now. Brewery Faison?
Close. Faison.
See, I still did it. I still did it wrong. Faison.
You faked yourself out. It's
okay. I did. And we practiced this off air before I started to record, and I still wimped out. I still did it wrong. But that's all right. We're not on, like, you know, Channel 4 TV or something doing this. We're in the Podcast Detroit studios in downtown beautiful Royal Oak. All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
I had originally was thinking I was going to bring you on when you were about a year in.
Yeah.
So that changed because I had a cancellation, and luckily you were available and came in. So I had a different Belgian-inspired brewery whose name we won't say that had to cancel. And now I have you. It almost seems like I planned it that way, right?
Yeah, amazing. You know, it works out. I was available, and we definitely brand new trying to get the word out, so we're happy.
Like good timing.
Yeah.
A lot of times I either do it right away or I do it like a year in like that. And my thought process was if I did it in October of next year, you'd be about a year in because you guys opened tail end of October.
October 24th. Yep.
Basically the weekend of the Fall Beer Fest of the Guild there down in Eastern Market.
Slightly strategic. We were hoping to get a little overflow in from that.
Is that how it worked?
A little bit, yeah.
I was out of town that weekend, so I didn't come in. I didn't get to see that.
Yeah, I mean, the opening night was a fantastic big party. We had a great time. We did basically tacos by Esto's Garage, who's a friend of mine who's trying to open a brick and mortar over in West Village.
Okay, so not too far from you. So you guys are located off Beaufay, kind of close to Lafayette there in what's called the Island View area of Detroit.
Yes, yeah, so it's Island View historically, and on all the old maps, there is some contention from the people that actually live in Island View as to what to call the neighborhood. You know, Greater Villages, some people say, Kirchable. You know, corridor, like there's a lot of different ways you can call it.
But I always said Lower East Side because I don't know.
Sure. And honestly, a lot of people are unfamiliar with Island View as a neighborhood. So it's kind of fun for us to kind of help put it on the map in people's minds. It's super easy to get to, or Island View comes from being the proximity to Belle Isle. So
right.
Our door front is a half a mile from the bridge to Belle Isle. So the whole neighborhood kind of like spans that part of the river area where Belle Isle is. And we're kind of sandwiched between Lafayette Park and West Village, which are obviously where a lot of people are living and moving to, and kind of hot spots for the city right now. And I think it'll just be kind of a natural fill-in zone.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. When I looked at it on a map, I thought, oh, I see. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, people show up and like, where am I? I'm in some industrial area,
yeah,
basically. Old plants and stuff.
Yeah, specifically the stretch we're on is industrial because there's an old rail line that ran up across the street from us between Beaufay and Bellevue streets. And there was some chatter recently from the city about trying to get a greenway going there. And I know it's kind of like on hiatus at the moment just because it's not easy to buy back land that you've sold off.
It's super hard. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's sort of on hold, but we would love to see that happen one day. We basically have a big glass roll-up door up front that faces the woods across the street. And it's really beautiful views in the changing seasons. And we call it Up North in the City.
So, up north in the city. I like that.
So, yeah, it's really nice to have that nature being so close to downtown and everything. And having a greenway there would be very cool one day, but we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of industrial buildings that are, like, kind of small to mid-size, and a lot of them look kind of vacant when you're driving by, but they're not. A lot of businesses still operating in the area. And we're kind of hoping our presence and a couple others will help people kind of open up their doors and kind of, you know, invite more of the neighborhood inside as opposed to just kind of being closed off as it was.
For years of my bike tours, I've been biking people in and around that area. And it's always interesting conversations of the history.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to the suburbanites that are typically on those bike tours with me, that they've never been around that area and know nothing about it. And they're always so intrigued by it. They're always amazed that nestled in these areas are businesses that are doing all kinds of different industrial things that you wouldn't have thought of.
For sure.
You know, there's not like Taco Bell signs or anything everywhere. It's like stuff you wouldn't know. But they're, you know, hustling something in there
that the public
wouldn't see normally.
True small business mentality. And, you know, for Paul and I, we only looked in Detroit for the brewery location.
Okay. That was always, it had to be Detroit.
It had to be Detroit. I've lived in Detroit since 2005. I moved down to go to Wayne State.
Okay. And you never left.
And I never left. I fell in love with it. Then I met Paul and we ended up moving to Corktown. I think it was 2009. And so, yeah.
Wow. So 10 years ago. So you've been in Corktown
for 10 years and we bought a condo there. And
that makes you a veteran.
Yeah. So, but we love Detroit. We started fantasizing about this brewery. When we won a chili cook-off 9 years ago and won a homebrew kit and started bring it home and got really nerdy about it.
Got real nerdy about it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the first step is admitting that you got nerdy about it, right?
Well, that's like the key to being a homebrewer in a way, I think.
It's so true.
I mean,
get enough homebrewers on tours. I know.
they love to talk about homebrewing. It's great. Great community. But yeah, we started kind of fantasizing about, you know, what it would take to get a brewery going in Detroit. Because a lot of what was around had been around for a very long time.
You know, this was pre-batch.
So we didn't have a neighborhood brewery in Corktown yet.
Right.
But now we love going there, obviously. And
I work with both of them, Batch and Brew Detroit.
They're both awesome. Yeah.
Both totally different, but they're both awesome.
They're both awesome. And it's great to have in the neighborhood. We definitely got priced out of Corktown pretty quick.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. As I was telling you, I had a former tour guide of mine for my bike tours, John. They moved in there probably around the same time that you and your husband Paul did. And he's kind of said the same thing. So he's like, oh my gosh, you know, the real estate's totally changed around here. And this is all before the Ford announcement of the train station.
Right.
Like that was already happening to you, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it's the building ownership in Detroit is strange. You know, we basically went around looking at buildings for years.
Yeah.
And a lot of what we did was actually like pulled up tax records and we're cold calling owners like, hey, this building's vacant. What's going on with it?
You know?
Like,
would you do anything?
Yeah. And we would call people and a lot of them would be like, yeah, we've been sitting on it for 30 years. So what's another 10? You know, we'll just wait it out.
That's like, so bizarre.
It's really bizarre and counterintuitive because you're not going to see the boom you want to be profitable off of if you're not helping the area come back. So it just doesn't logically make a ton of sense to me, but that's a lot of the response we got. And we had looked kind of like all over the map of Detroit. Because like I said, it was about being in Detroit. And if we couldn't do Corktown, we figured, well, let's check out what else is going on, you know. So we ended up falling onto Island View kind of later in our search when a friend of ours who became a real estate agent kind of got to know a family that owns a bunch of property over there and then introduced us. And we were looking at the building we ended up buying to rent and you know, had a couple few conversations with them about what it would take to white box the space and get it up to rentable, you know.
Because the original plan was you were thinking you would rent.
Yeah. And, you know, they looked into it a little bit, got a couple quotes for what it would take to replace the roof. You know, it was raining inside the building. You know,
that's all, just raining inside.
Yeah,
that sounds like the typical story of old buildings in a city.
I mean, especially warehouses, roofs, if you don't maintain them, they go pretty quickly.
Yeah,
so.
Seems like it.
Yeah, so their tune changed, you know, when they got some of those price tags, and then we were able to have the conversation about buying it. You know, the mother of the family is in her 90s, and she actually remembers when Pfeiffer Brewing Company was operating.
Which is down the road essentially from you, and part of that building still stands there, very close.
You can still see the moniker on the side. It's pretty neat.
It's a cool picture, and I remember originally when I was designing my brewery history bike tour in Detroit out of Midtown. But that was going to be the farthest point I was going to bike to.
Mm-hmm.
But this was early on. This would have been like 2011. I'd say that was still – there's still some funky spots in between there in my head I was like, I could do that. But I don't know if everybody I was going to bring on a tour would want to bike that way. Now I don't even think about it. But like then in 2011 I did.
Yeah.
And I actually excluded them for years from the route. And I still don't do it with that route. But years later I did an auto history route of where – kitty corner to that was an old there's a huge building across the street from that, very long, very linear, and that's an old automobile manufacturing plant. So I go up to that Pfeiffer building, talk from that corner, which is neat spot in there.
Good backdrop.
How interesting that that's so close to you.
Yeah, it's on Beaufay, 2 miles north. of, wow. of where we are. So we like to say we're bringing beer back to the neighborhood in a way.
What was their mascot? Do you know any of their history?
I read the Wikipedia page.
You did you? Good for you. Okay. I'm just messing with you.
Couldn't dictate it back to you right now. But
it was Johnny Pfeiffer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, at some point, maybe that's a talk I do at your brewery, is I come in and do like a huge talk on Pfeiffer. I have lots of – I have a Johnny Pfeiffer statue.
Oh, cool.
That was – those were real prominent in bars around Detroit. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have those. I got a bunch of beer labels from them. I got a couple old historic pictures.
Nice.
Somewhere there's a huge layout of what that whole brewery campus used to look like.
I'd be interested in that.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to have to dig that up somewhere. I'm a junkie of this stuff now. I think I had mentioned like 4 years ago I had a book published on Detroit beer history, but there's also that Brewed in Detroit book that came out in the late 90s, and that stuff had way more records than I could because that guy was an archivist for Stroh, Peter Bloom. So there's a lot of good information out there on Pfeiffer. And then another brewery down the road off Mac would have been Altus Brewing Company at one point, right? So you have two huge names in the Detroit market that, from a historic standpoint, that are close to you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And when the wind's blowing the right way, we can smell the whiskey from Windsor. So.
Oh, that's funny. I wouldn't even think of that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's really strong. They're doing giant batches, so
they're
making a lot of sense over there.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah,
wow.
No, it's
they're ginormous.
Cool. Yep. Yeah, and then honestly, you know, Island View is kind of perfect. First of all, the buildings are the right size. You know, we got a 9,000 square foot warehouse, which is room to grow for us.
Sure.
I actually, in preparation coming here, I listened to the podcast that you had with Steve on it, and he's Steven from Batch. And he was
that's not really a good interview, though, but thank you for listening.
It was cool. But
that's a long story, which we'll talk about off air. It doesn't matter now. but thank you. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, he kind of mentions, now I'm going to lose my train of thought here.
Sorry.
Where was I?
Batch and Steven and warehouse spaces, maybe?
Yeah. So he kind of brings up new breweries. I think you had a short interchange about new breweries kind of starting small and how tough it is. So we took a lot of that advice from Steven and others and kind of decided that we would start bigger. So we had actually planned on a 15 barrel system. And then we
it's so rare for me to hear that, and when it's like a husband wife team kind of making it happen that's
right.
It's cool. I love hearing it. I love walking in and seeing it.
Well, we went all in. I mean, we knew we were gonna go into some debt here, and we were comfortable with it because this is our passion and it's what we want to do. Like, we're not going down the family road, so
you didn't roll up here in a Lamborghini or anything. That's for sure.
No, I still bargain shop, and you know, we're frugal people, so we can spend it on the brewery, and that's cool.
That's a good way to run a business, by the way. I'm very frugal when it comes to how I run my business. I get it.
It's
great skill sets to have that not a lot of people have.
Yeah, hopefully it'll serve us both well.
I think it will.
Yeah. So anyway, we kind of had the Liberty Street production facility situation fall under our lap. We ran into an old friend at Fall Beer Festival a couple years ago, and he said, hey, I was talking to the guys over at Liberty Street, and they're kind of interested in maybe wrapping up the production and focusing back on their
brew pub,
which they love to do. And so we reached out. We emailed them. We said, hey, we're doing this thing. I don't know if at that point we had already bought the building, but we basically knew we were going to get our location, and we said, you know, this is the perfect size, this is what we want to do, and like, are you interested? And it was perfect because they had some production that they needed to continue to wrap up over there, and we weren't quite ready for the system at that point in time, so it kind of all kind of fell into place as far as
It was close.
And it was in Livonia.
It's in Livonia. So, yeah. I mean, God.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go to, like, I'll interview folks and be like, I drove down to Florida and I found the system and, you know, practically fell off the truck on the way here.
Right.
You at least had something within range.
Yeah. But, I mean, we still had to hire a rigging company to, move it.
Totally.
And that was a stressful thing
I'll
to
bet
watch,
it was.
But it was cool. I mean.
Because that's your money on that, right?
Yeah.
It's like hanging, swagging. Yeah. You're like, that's my money.
They were professionals, though. They did a great job moving it over. But, we bought the whole system from them. So we got, you know, as not just the brew house and the fermenters. We got kegs from them. We got forklifts.
Oh, wow.
Four compartment sink. We got all the, you know, peripheral stuff that we needed for it to build a production area, which was perfect. The only thing we didn't buy from them was their bottling line.
Yeah, so, yeah. Because that's really not what people are doing now.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could buy a lot of used bottling lines now because a lot of people are kind of dumping out of bottles, obviously, into cans.
Absolutely.
Of which you showed up here with two cans of beer.
What an
interesting segue that I just did.
Right, yeah. So we ended up buying a little October steamer so we could start doing to-go cans.
That's right. When I came in last Friday and you showed me that kind of sitting on the end of the bar all ready for action.
Yep.
All right. You guys posted a little picture, I believe, on your Instagram account of it with one of the labels, right?
Yep. So I do all the design for the brewery. I have an art background and Paul is an engineer. So we make kind of a good team that way.
You know, that's like the dream team for opening up a brewery if you think about it, right? You need someone artsy cool that gets that side of it, can have a cool style to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need like a nerdy engineer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he looks like that. And that's a great thing. It's a great thing. Right.
Yeah. I mean, he has that side of the brain that I don't use as much, I guess I'll put it that way. But
I get it. Like his brain processes. Like I'm not an engineer. I don't have an engineer brain, but I have plenty of friends that are.
It's pretty amazing.
They really do process things differently than a creative would. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm a sales guy. So I like to know creatives and I like to know really smart people. And I'm somewhere in the middle. And I'm smart enough to know that I need all that in my life.
Yeah, we need our peers for sure.
Yeah, if you don't have that, then if you're just two of the same, then all like you could go to places and you could tell, oh, they focus on the beer. And then like their website looks like crap and their logo looks stupid and nothing's ever updated and, you know, all those types of little details that really help make a business look a little more polished and successful, are lost because all they care about is making the beer. The last podcast I did was the Cadillac Straits guys and the one guy was probably similar to Paul, a little more nerdy brewing guy, had a homebrew background, and the other guy looked a little more business, a little more tightened up in that respect. I'm like, it seems like a good fit to have as a business partner.
Yeah, you definitely have to have somebody that can focus on the big picture. And I think, Paul and I individually might not be perfect at that, but together we do a really good job together. But he bought, when we started exploring this idea of opening a brewery, he bought like every textbook about brewing that he could find and every single thing published by the Brewers Association for every beer style and like read them all. And he's like, the type of person that can read a textbook and absorb what's in it and take that and learn from it. And like, I'm a visual learner. So, it was fun to have, he's got all that information in his brain. When we go to like work in the brew house together, he can, explain to me the things I'm doing in a much more, educational, scientific way. I mean, I understand how it works because I do it and that's how I learn. But like to be able to have Paul standing there to say like, oh, this is why we do that. And this is, it's pretty cool. It's like, a fun thing about being an adult, you never stop learning. If you have a good partner that you can listen to, it's helpful.
I have a really smart wife. So mm-hmm. I say this all the time.
You
like I clearly married smart for a reason because it'll make me live longer. And she's traveling this week and she's out like 4 days and I miss it. I miss her just because I love her, but I also miss her because I never realized how much I ask her opinion what I'm doing with, I run the tour business and she has a real person job, but she's just as active in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that. And if I don't have her, then I'm like talking to one of my smarter friends and then they'll get sick of me asking them like 10,000 questions, right? Be like, don't you ask your wife this stuff? I'm like, well, she's traveling this week and I don't have, my
you get used to
sounding board. Yeah, you really do. Like you just rely on that. And that's a beautiful thing though. You got to recognize that that's there.
Yep.
And when you have that, it'll make the two of you stronger. I'm almost making this sound like a marriage counseling session or something.
My partnership with Paul is at the heart of this whole thing. So, it makes sense to talk about it that way. And, we started, like I said, talking about this brewery 9 years ago and, 8 years ago, but we're coming up on 8 years of marriage. So it's a big part.
Oh, wow. So it's been marriage, since you've been married, like this has been the focus.
Yeah.
Now you're here. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Damn.
Yeah. So, we purchased the building 4 years ago. So those first 4 or 5 years were learning, becoming sponges.
It was 2 years ago as I started to first hear some of it and then started following you guys.
Yep.
at that point. You've done it. You did a good job on your blog.
Thank you.
Were you the one who always did everything on that? That you typed it all in and
we run everything detailed by each other, but I definitely it was fun to write the blog, especially when you're in those points in the process where time is flat circle and you don't know what's happening and like how long each step will take. Therapeutic, I'll put it that way.
I'll bet it would be
to be able to write about it and talk to people, and that's something I talk about sometimes, is like we went through this whole process and it was such a process, especially with all the permitting and the city. And
so let's talk through some of that then. Yeah. Or let's crack open a beer while we do that. So you said you have a Dubbel and a Kolsch, right?
I do.
Kolsch. Yeah. Okay.
So the Belgian styles are what we're focusing on.
Okay.
And the Dubbel's kind of been a surprise to me with the response. I really like it a lot.
Except I just poured the Kolsch where
that's
you said
okay,
that.
Yeah.
That's all right. You can't see that.
we've been really happy with the response that it's been getting from the community. A lot of people that claimed that they don't really like Belgians will try that and be like kind of, wow.
I would agree with most of my customers. They typically, if you put a good Dubbel in front of them, uh-huh. I mean, it's dark, middle color to dark, and it's got a nice sugary but Belgian candy sugar to it.
Yeah, a little bit.
That in malty, that's appealing to most people. Mm-hmm. And that some of the I don't know why some people get turned off by Belgians as much as they do. I don't. I've never been like that, but it's like, what did they drink that kind of turned them off that way to the Belgian yeast, where you don't feel that way if a Dubbel.
Yeah.
If you have a really good triple, and you guys have a triple on right now, correct?
Yeah, and it's also been getting good reception. We love it. Yeah, I mean, that triple was a journey to get out.
Triples are just hard to brew in general.
And honestly, like, you just got to give it time, you have an idea of when it'll be ready, and you can't rush it. You got to let it do its thing and maybe help it along a little bit if you need to. But we're really happy with the end result with that one. And this Kolsch that I brought as well.
Nice and clean.
Yeah, we wanted to have a lighter beer to try to bring some of those, light beer drinkers over to craft beer, because I think that's like a continuous journey for craft brewers.
It really never ends.
It never ends.
Yeah. It's why I know a lot about Kolsch's, and I'm constantly talking about them to tour guests that are like, I drink Bud Light. And I'm like, you should drink this then.
Yeah, try it.
And that gateways them in.
It does.
And I have a good friend that was a Bud Light drinker, and now he's exploring further up the food chain,
That's my goal anyway. We'll see how it works out. But yeah, we decided to do a slightly hoppier version of a Kolsch. So
it seems like it.
Yeah, so we threw some extra hops in there, and I'm really, really happy with it, because it's got that nice bready Kolsch, body to it, but then you get a little bit extra hop on the end.
I could drink them all day.
Me too. And I think that's sort of like a brewer's beer, like you're around all the heavy stuff all day, but really at the end of the day, you just want to throw back.
I mean, I can't be sitting around drinking, as much as I like triples and Dubbels, I can't be sitting around drinking those all day.
No, it wouldn't be good for us to
do that. But you had some other fun stuff on. I didn't try everything, because I was coming off a tour and I had other crap to do after that. No offense.
Yeah.
So I came in, and what did I have? I had your coffee stout, which I really enjoyed, which was great after me having to talk nonstop for 4 hours, and I could come in and chill and check your place out after a walking tour I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that coffee from Ash Supply in Detroit, right?
Yeah, Ash Supply. So AJ's the owner over there. He used to have a location across the street from Paul's office over by Atwater.
Oh, that's right. They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Paul got to know him a little bit while he was over there. And we really love the coffee. And they're now located on Broadway downtown.
Yeah, right in the thick of it, aren't they?
Yeah. So, yeah, we bought 10 pounds of beans, steeped it in the Bright. We're doing samples every few hours until it got to the point where we were happy with the flavor, and literally pulled an all-nighter to get into kegs.
Oh, God, really?
Because we didn't want
to. Well, at least you had coffee to keep you awake.
And it's all an adventure to us now, because it's all new. So
yeah, everything's new.
So everything's fun. Everything, no matter how tired we get, we're just excited to be there and excited to do everything.
Well, that's what makes it fun for me to interview new folks into the industry, because I interview people from all eras of it. And the conversations are like totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Right? No. Like, you're full of life and into it. And I'm like, this is fun. It reminds me of why I got into the industry. And then I'll meet someone else and be like, I don't even drink beer anymore. And be like, I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that. I think Steven actually kind of said that on that batch interview I did a couple months ago. And he was like, but he was drinking other stuff they were making in his defense, right? He was just saying, I'm around beer all day, and now we're doing fun stuff with wines and playing with ciders and doing that and, you know, funky sour stuff.
And you got to do what excites you. You got to do what makes you happy.
And that's what excited him. And if we weren't talking more about the Hatch competition on that show, I would have totally gone way deeper. Oh. That's why that show wasn't quite what I thought it would be. I didn't know
Hatch
we were.
Hatch is cool, though. That's a cool
No, thing. It's a great thing. I didn't – I guess I thought that interview was going to be all about Batch, and it really was supposed to be more about Hatch.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds weird. But anyway, it's all good. I've known him for a while, so as you might have picked up on some of that. And when he worked at Vitamin Water, they used to hook me up with free Vitamin Water for my bus tours.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. So.
Well, we're excited to have a tour at the brewery for sure. I think it'll be a good time.
Well, hopefully when I come in and whatever date I told you, March, I think I said, that we'll get a good group. So, it's like we could plan for these things, and then you never know, right? Like either the weekend gangbusters and you don't have enough spots for everybody, or it's an off weekend and you don't know why and you don't
The story of our life.
And that's just kind of – that's the part of running a business, right?
For sure. You
thought that was going to be your crazy busy night, and who knows what happens, right? The wind shifted one way and then people didn't come.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine. You'll have other days where it'll be the opposite of that, and you'll be slammed, be like, oh my God, you know, and you can't breathe.
Right.
But you're making money.
Yeah.
And that's cool,
it's,
right?
It's definitely a pendulum, and it's for being brand new, it's stressful.
I mean, it's that stress maybe never goes. I'm not, I don't want to scare you by saying that way, but
hopefully you normalize to it a little bit.
I think so. Like I was saying off air before we started, like, I've gotten a lot better at planning out my business for like, the cycles of it and for like the whole next year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because I'm like 10 years into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I surely wasn't like that before. I was a little more, I don't want to say seat in my pants. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Where now I'm like, okay, if I throw this many tours out there, I'll probably get this many guests in a year if everything works out all right. And okay, these weekends work good on the last couple of years. I want to focus on making sure I have good stuff here. And yeah.
Sure. And you just got to learn how to not take it personally.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
I'll give you a funny example. I was sharing this with my sister last night as her and I met for dinner of not taking stuff personally. So I think I'm running an ad on Facebook right now to like sell gift certificates for Motor City Brew Tours. And someone commented on the Instagram post that – so it's like just pitching our company. She must have clicked on the website. And then went back into Instagram to comment. So she read on the website that we've been around since 2009. We've taken 25,000 people on tours. Okay. Seems like a cool thing. I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah.
Her comment was, you must not be a very good business if in 10 years you've only had 25,000 customers.
Wow.
That was her comment.
I know.
And I was just
don't
like,
never read the comments.
Yeah. Like you read that. This was, by the way, this is like 8 a.m, right? So like first thing I read is I go to my computer. Oh, look, I got a comment in Instagram.
Oh.
What is this? You know, and you click on the picture and, you know, and you just, you want to like say stuff. You want to just say stuff, but
just
you can't.
Say
you can't do it.
Out loud to the mirror.
Yeah.
Don't type it.
I did, right? Like I ranted to my sister about it last night. She's like,
yeah.
I don't see how you didn't comment to her. I'm like, because I'm a business and it's visible, you know,
yeah.
Like you can't, you know, so no matter what I think or you think when you hear that, you know, you're just like, ah. All I do is just delete it because it's not productive.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, whatever. And
I feel like we're definitely still in the honeymoon phase as far as reception. I feel like everyone's been really excited and waiting a long time for us. So everyone's been very positive, which, you know, is amazing feeling.
I hope you never get anything like that.
I hope we never do either. I feel like it'll come with time. But that's a piece of advice that almost all my peers always give is don't read the Yelp reviews. Don't even look at it.
Although you need to comment when it makes sense. And I do that. Right. So it's like Yelp. But now it's 4 places. So maybe not TripAdvisor for you, but for me it is. So TripAdvisor, Yelp, Google, Facebook. So like all 4 of those places, people can comment about you.
Sure.
And that's just how it is, you know.
That's just how it is.
I remember a couple years ago, we were running a beer tasting boat cruise on Detroit Princess, and it was killer. Great event, super proud of it, sold out crowd, right? But someone was mad because it was sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So they go online, and just it was like the comments were crazy, you know, like you're a piece of crap.
Wow.
You know, like we're like, where's this coming from? You don't even know me, you know, like why are you so mad, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a beer tasting event that sold out, you know, like.
It's also like, congratulations on selling out.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Right. Yeah. And that was what my wife kept saying. Be like, hey, we just sold that event out. Like that's pretty awesome. You know, like I don't think we ever even had sold it out before. So like we didn't even think we could sell it out. Right. And then it happened. And then we work our butts off. And then it's like I'm driving home and – or my wife's driving home and I'm in the passenger seat. And then I look at this comment. I'm like, what? What is this? You know, just like instantly your attitude changes for at least a second, you know. And then you need someone to like smack you, you know, and be like, come on. You need to get back to reality here.
It's very difficult to not have those reactions. It's just the world we're living in.
So maybe a day or so goes by and maybe you dwell on it, you know. I was telling my sister, like, I read it and then I went to the gym and then I was on the elliptical and then I like probably burned an extra 100 calories in 30 minutes on the elliptical because I'm sure I was pushing it and I had hard rock on like on my headphones and I'm like going hard at it. And I'm like,
that
was how it is a good way to deal with it. Like I'm in a, you know, I'm in a Planet Fitness. I'm not talking to anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I'm ranting and raving. I'm just on it going, staring at the TV, watching a home show or something, you know, and then trying to work it out of the system. And you'll figure out those things that you do when you have those harder days and then try to celebrate the really fun days. Like you guys just released some beers, right?
Yeah. So we have we opened with 7 beers and then we've just added 3 more. So our Chapels is up to 10. Shoot. So we've got 5 Belgians, 1 German style with the Kolsch, English porter, and 3 Americans, 2 IPAs and a coffee stout in the American category. And for the Belgians.
Yep, that's everything I wrote down. Okay,
yeah,
very good.
So the Belgians are obviously our first love and our focus and one of the reasons why we went down this path because nobody in Detroit was doing the full focus on Belgium.
I didn't even ask you that question because it just seemed obvious to me when I saw it. I'm like, wow, that makes sense. Right.
And honestly, the surprising thing to us really isn't that no one else is doing Belgians, it's that it took us this long to open that there's not way more breweries in Detroit yet. It's kind of mind-boggling to me. And I know a couple were recently announced, and there's a couple more that are on the long path like we were. So I know we're going to get a few more.
Like
breweries.
Black Bottom Brewing, right? They're still supposedly.
And
we think
Bent Rim. There's a couple.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Bent Rim, down the road from you.
Yep.
Isn't it like an old church?
Yep, they own an old church on Kirchville, and they he came in the other day. I think he's still doing the good fight, but it's, you know, it's tough, and everyone's on their own road to opening, so you can't.
It's always different.
It's different for everybody, but we just figured there'd be more. I mean, by now, which is kind of wild, but to be filling that Belgian beer void is something we were really passionate about.
Did you look into like other folks in Michigan or maybe other states that were a little more focused on Belgian as well, like Vivant, Brewery Vivant and Grand Rapids? They were really the first ones in Michigan to really do that, I think.
And we were always big fans of them, especially their taproom space. It's really great.
Another husband-wife team, by the way.
Yep. And then we did a trip to Belgium because
research. Of course.
That was a couple years ago already, and my sister, who lives in Washington, D.C., came with us. So it was nice to have a third person on the trip because we could try more beers that way.
So where did you go then in Belgium? I've been to Belgium. So where have you been?
So we did we flew into Amsterdam, and then we took the train to I think the first stop was Antwerp.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then we did Bruges and Ghent and Brussels and Liège, I think, was the last city we did. And I'm probably missing one in there. But we did, you know, the fairy tale towns.
That's the way to do it, though. Yeah. Honestly, if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, the chocolate.
I did Bruges and Brussels.
They're amazing.
Oh, totally. I'd love to go back.
Yeah. I'd say Antwerp is pretty cool, too, and Ghent.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of them have those, like, tiny little awesome beer bars where you can just.
I was so amazed by it.
Yeah, you just can. Like, the atmosphere is unbeatable, and you can get Belgian beers that you pay, you know, $10 to $20 for here for €4, and it's like
every store. I was so amazed by like every little beer store in any of those towns, and like their selections were so amazing. And they always had the bottle and the glassware combo kits, which, you know, for us, we were staying in Germany and trained over to Belgium. Mm-hmm. So my wife has they had some family that were living out there. So that – anyway, we were flying back, and I didn't want to come back with all this glassware. Yeah. But it was so hard because you, like, go into these stores. It's so cool.
It's so cool.
You're just like, oh, look at this. My wife's like, you need to settle down. You know, like, we're going to drink, you know, but, you know, whatever.
We definitely ate and drank a lot of really – and we went in November, which was super cool because they had all the little pubs and restaurants had, you know, fresh game – stews and like
oh
like,
yeah okay
really neat season to be there. It was you know, off season for tourism, so a lot of a lot of the views were, you know, you had you know, rain and wind to deal with. But other than that, you didn't have the hordes of people, which was nice.
Oh, I mean, when I was in Bruges, we stayed 3 nights in Bruges, and wow, I can't believe how many tourists come through. I mean, I was a tourist there, but
it's a lot.
And that was in, like, I think August. I can't remember now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like peak of that.
Yeah, I'd recommend late November.
Yeah, I'd like that.
And then we also went into Cologne, Germany, and they had all their Christmas markets up at that time. And those were like to not be missed. They were amazing.
Yeah, my parents have done the barge tour on the whatever that river is, river something. Anyway,
don't I don't
know. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We got that right, and and that's what. And the whole tour was Christmas markets.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back with all, you know, every market had its own kind of ornament and the mugs so cool. that you would drink from. Yep. My mom had a whole collection of the mugs.
We had a few.
Very cool.
yeah, Cologne has a ton of them, and they're, I think their specialty is mulled wine. That might be universal. Mm. I'm not sure. But we just,
that's what I mean. Yeah, I'm sorry. Mulled wine. Yep.
Yeah. But we definitely went to a couple breweries in Cologne, too, and did the whole Kölsch experience, which was awesome.
That's the way to do it.
It was cool. And we actually were there for Thanksgiving, so we ate a traditional German feast at one of the breweries for Thanksgiving, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, in Belgium, you can't beat it. The beer is amazing. Obviously, they don't like they make all types of beer there. Like what we consider to be Belgian styles are more specific in America than what they actually brew. They're brewing like a whole spectrum of beers.
Sure,
we associate a lot of sours and lambics and things like that with them, and we tasted the whole spectrum of beer over there, and it was all delicious.
I mean, everything. My wife doesn't drink beer, but she really does like Frambois and Creeks, and you got that on draft there. So, like, we wouldn't have that typically here. You wouldn't see that. It'd be something bottled and old probably. Mm-hmm. And so she was loving it because every place we went to, she kind of had something cool she could have, you know, and that's what I want.
And a ton of variety. I mean,
so much variety.
Yeah. And that's something we want to do for sure, as you more experimental Belgian styles, because we have like a few of the more typical ones out, but it would be nice to kind of add, you know, expand on the idea of what we think of as Belgian style or Belgian inspired, and just really kind of roll with it.
So. Well, it's like doing, you know, Belgian IPAs, like that isn't really a traditional Belgian style, but you've seen American breweries really latch on to doing that, and that makes sense. And then experimental hops that you're not really necessarily attributing to a Belgian style that would play different with the yeast. That's fun stuff to do. There's lots of a wider spectrum now to choose from to do
that's
that.
What we're the most excited about, I think.
When we were in Bruges, we did this awesome tour. It's like a small local tour operator that picked us up at the little hotel we were staying at in this little van. He only had three other people, and it was chocolate, waffles, and beer tour. So it's kind of everything you ever wanted to experience. He took us to this cute little brewery whose name I can't think of that had like three beers. So they had like a single – no, they had four. They had a single, double, triple, quadruple, right? And the guy was so excited. It was so funny because the guy was so excited because we go in there and the tour guide's like, this guy runs a beer tour company in America. And then the owner of this small little place was so excited, right? Just wanted to show me everything. And then I'm excited because he's excited.
Yeah.
And I'm in this place in Bruges. It's like the cutest little brewery. Yeah. You know, my wife's laughing because she could tell, like, you know, I barely sip a beer and then it looks like I'm buzzed, but I'm not because I'm just excited that I'm getting to do all this in here. You know, it's just amazing that you could be like in another country, but you have the same, you know, love of something that they latch onto the same way you do, you know, and it just shows how universal things like that are. People like to eat and drink.
They do.
And you can share that with whatever the setting is that you're in and have a good time, you know. You don't have to talk about politics or, you know, money. That doesn't matter in that situation. You just can enjoy yourself. And
yeah, and I mean, that's what traveling's about for me, for sure. It's eating and drinking, 100%.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's perfect place to do it over there, for sure. We were there, I think, 2 weeks total, and it was not long enough.
Oh, I said the same thing. We were there about 2 weeks. Now, most of that was Germany. So I really only had 4 days in Belgium. And even Brussels was only during the day on the way back on the train. A long day, like 10 hours, but still not enough.
Not enough.
And whenever you talk to someone, they always say that to you too, don't they? They're like, you were only there 2 weeks? Well, you know, I'm not made of money and I didn't have that much time. And that's kind of how we were. Like, I don't have a month to do that, but that would be the way to do it.
I think so too. Because if we go back, I want to do the monasteries, you know. I want to actually go on some of those tours.
So true.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, just making sure my levels are right here. I'm just double checking stuff.
I'm kind of quiet. I apologize.
No, you are not quiet. You're doing great. Have you ever, I never asked you this before we started, have you ever been interviewed like this?
Not for a podcast, no.
Okay.
I've done several phone interviews.
Okay. It's totally the same thing.
Similar.
I remember the first phone interview I did, I was so nervous.
Oh, yeah. I talked way too much, probably told them way too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was with Eater, and Brenna has been very kind to us and put out some really beautiful articles about the brewery. They came and did a photo shoot right before we opened, and that was really, really awesome of her. We appreciate the Eater coverage a lot, but I definitely had that nervous.
You'll get it over time. Like, I'm making it sound like it's easy. I mean, I remember the first interview I ever got was I was on the Travel Michigan show, which is sponsored by, you know, the Pure Michigan campaign.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And I was so nervous, and like I was a call in, and they were so nice on the phone, and I just rambled, right? And then right after I get off the phone, you know, my mom was listening to it live, and she calls me. She's like, "You did so great." I'm like, "I don't know. What did I just say? You know, I don't even know what I said."
You can't even remember what you said.
There's no way you could remember what you said, right? It just happens.
Yeah.
I know. And then when I had this book come out about 4 years ago, somehow I grabbed there was a show called Opportunity Detroit. Mm-hmm. Remember when Gilbert was really pushing the Opportunity Detroit slogan? Yeah. Well, on WWJ, they had like a radio show that was like the Opportunity Detroit show.
Okay.
And I got asked on that. Well, that tapes like at the top of the Fisher Building in the WWJR. Wait, why am I saying WJR Studios?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With Paul W. Smith.
Okay.
Like, you know, veteran, amazing, you know, radio broadcaster. I don't think I'd ever been on something like professional, like super professional like that before, you know? So, and I was pretty smooth, but partway into the interview, you know, he had like staff and they were prepared and like they said your name and your business name right. And I gotta tell you, there's so many times I get interviewed and the first thing will be like, they won't say your name right and they'll say the business wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I don't mean me playing with Faison, which I still won't say right, but I'm saying like the words are wrong.
Faison.
You are so friendly. Faison. Okay.
French for pheasant.
Which is
a hashtag. If you come to the brewery, hashtag your photo. French for pheasant.
French for pheasant. We need to say that before we get off the air for sure, mm-hmm. right? So was that always the graphic you wanted to do?
Yeah. So like I said, I did the design for the brewery, and we sort of fell in love with how many pheasants are wild in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And when we bought the building, they were like all over, specifically across the street.
I've seen them many times when I'm biking people.
It's awesome. And they're beautiful birds. So I started playing around with that, simplifying it and making it nice and clean.
It looks really
–
you want some of those too? There's another cup there if you want. Oh, very good.
All good.
Very professional.
It's like 2 ounces. but yeah, so that kind of fell into place and then you know, I kind of adapted it for social media and like tried to kind of roll with it. And we have some t-shirts for sale and stickers and glassware and things like that. We're just going to keep adding on merch so we can kind of.
Yeah, just take your time with it. Like,
yeah.
I have a super defined way I do all that now, but it took me forever to get like that, you know, to get more best practices.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I ordered shirts, I was like, am I ever going to sell these? You know, I don't even know what I ordered. Like, I ordered 25 shirts. I don't know. That's not.
Well, it's an upfront commitment.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were expensive. They were like, I don't know, you know, $11 a unit or something.
Sure.
Once it was printed, I think it was 3-color on the front. Mm-hmm. Just ways I wouldn't do that normally, you know. And now it's like 1 color, 1 side. I buy shirts wholesale and have them printed locally. Like, I just bought $600 worth of t-shirts and performance shirts for pretty much all of next year.
That's awesome.
Because you get Black Friday sales this time of year.
Yeah, it's you get in the flow, I guess, for all that stuff. But it's been really fun to do the design. And
I love it though. It does really look good. You could tell that you have a flair for it.
I mean, it's definitely a passion.
That Duble's great, by the way.
Thank you. Paul learned how to code a website too to save us some money.
Okay, so that's why you have a pretty slick looking website.
Yeah, so it's pretty unique actually. I did the
it's a simplistic design.
Yeah, okay. And then he figured out how to code it and do all the expansions and menus that drop down when you click on things. And I mean, he That's his brain. Like I said, he can read a textbook. He can learn how to code. That's Paul. Thank God for Paul. Because
the rest of us are using templates to do that.
Yeah.
So clearly.
I mean, I say that, but I figured out Illustrator. So.
That's a pretty big deal.
Right. But I mean, everyone has their strengths, right? And it's like I said before, it's really nice to have a partner that balances yours out and you can feel confident going forward. And, having nice branding, I think, is nice.
You know, a lot of places either just don't have nice branding or they paid a lot to get the branding.
Yeah.
So the fact that you guys figured that out and it looks, pleasing to the eye.
Thank you.
Is a success right there. Before you even start drinking beer, it's a success, right. You know.
Well, that's, I think, part of it, too. We're really proud of the beers, stand behind the beers. They've had great reception. However, I think having a really well-thought-out tasting room and environment and design is part of the experience for people. So
give me some of how you kind of came up with the tasting room.
Yeah. So our building is basically a giant rectangle.
Right.
Its original use back in the 60s when it was built was a rigging for cranes. So it's a wide open space. There's no beams or anything dividing it up.
Yeah. That's the first thing I noticed when I walked in there.
Yeah. And it's really well built. It's a sturdy building. Besides the new roof, it was in good shape when we got it. We did cut out a bunch of floor to do trench drains and slope the production area and stuff like that. But so we did work with an architect. We won Motor City Match. I have to segue to that here because they have different.
I was going
to
ask you, it was in my notes to see the picture with you, you and Paul and the mayor. Very cool.
Yep. So we won.
On your blog.
That was for like the big cash award, but Motor City Match is a cool program because they also have other awards you can win prior to the cash award. And one of them is for design. We actually won $15,000 plus another I forget the term they use now, but additional services you might need.
Okay.
Getting your building ready. So, before you get a bank loan or have funding for your project, generally you have quite a bit of out-of-pocket expense just to get drawings made, just to get the ball rolling.
It's not just writing a business plan.
The bank wants to see that you have a plan. They're not just going to give you money.
Yeah.
So that 15 grand paid for our architectural engineering drawings. So we did work with DMET Design Studios, which is in the Park Shelton next to the DIA. And he subbed out the engineering to somebody else, but they did kind of worked with us to do their initial layout. And then, because it was like the grant situation and it wasn't super straightforward as far as like fees and how that would move forward into contracting or construction, we kind of like ended our relationship with him after we had the plan set in hand.
Okay.
So we didn't really get that. We had like the layout finished, but all the finishes, all the furniture, all the colors, all the things that you see in there were Paul and I.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because we sort of just said, we're not going to invest more money into that because we think we can do it. And we did it. So, but we had a lot of help from Honor Construction. That's who we worked with as our GC. And
general contractor, for folks who don't know what that means.
General contractor, Honor Construction. We found them, I think, maybe through the Brewers Association. I'm not really sure. It's been many years. But they had done breweries, and they were a Grand Rapids-based company.
Okay.
And so we got quotes from some local Detroit companies and then from them. And the reason we chose them, besides the fact that they'd done a brewery before, was that they were a very open book.
Oh.
Paul and I wanted a full picture of what every tiny piece of this project cost.
Sure.
We wanted to see every bid that went out to subcontractors. We wanted to
Interesting. I would assume that's not normal.
It is not normal.
Okay.
So most companies that you hire for general contracting will give you like a full project number. And they'll say, we'll get it done for this much.
But they might sub it out to all these different places.
They don't normally show you that. Right. They don't show you behind the scenes. So we really wanted to learn and know what went on behind the scenes. So Honor was willing to work with us that way. And very open, very a cool experience to work with them that way. And they really helped us, like, I guess I'll smile for the photo.
You're cracking it. Just keep talking. Act like you didn't see me take a picture there.
Well, you put it right
on. I got nowhere else to put it, right? I got to put it right there. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
That's all right. So they were cool in that way. And we were really happy to work with them. You know, like all construction, it took longer than it should have.
Sure.
And we ran into some roadblocks. And because they're based out of Grand Rapids, they had to do some leaps of faith working with contractors out of Detroit that they hadn't worked with previously.
Okay.
You know, so a lot of times the GC will say like, well, we're going to use this plumber because I worked with this plumber a million times and I know he's going to show up and do the work. But because they didn't have all the connections in Detroit, we ended up getting a couple subs that were not great.
Right.
The plumber was not one. He was actually great. Plumber was great.
Okay.
If he's listening.
If you're listening, don't be mad. Rachel likes you.
Yeah, but it was definitely an experience to see how that all unfolded and, you know, the types of things that are hang-ups and, you know. But we end up getting an SBA loan through Huntington Bank. So all of the, you know, contracting had to be like a process through the bank and everything like that. So it was all a lot of paperwork and everything's transparent and we learned a ton. Like I said, Paul and I had control over what didn't get done, change orders and, you know, and we ended up actually staying in budget, which.
Whoa. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it took.
I don't hear that too often.
Right. It took, you know, 6 months longer than I wanted it to, but we didn't break the bank. So we're overall very happy with where we ended up. And I think the tap room exceeds my expectations. Like very tenfold.
It's very open. There's a lot of things you could do with that. Mm-hmm. I do like how it's a nice long bar.
Yeah.
And I like how you got the little cooler on the side for to-go stuff. That was mm-hmm. something that when you and I were in there, you mentioned, and I thought that was kind of slick, attached to the cold room.
Yeah.
That seems a smart design.
Thank you. We had so much time to plan. A lot of those details kind of were light bulbs. You know, we didn't rush into anything, so we were able to say, like, oh, wait, the cooler's right here. We could cut a hole in the wall.
We could do this. This will make it way easier.
Exactly. And so, yeah, it kind of fell into place, and then we did a lot of the finishes ourselves, like I said. So Paul and I and a few friends actually poured that concrete bar top ourselves.
Oh, wow.
We tiled it. You know, we did, you know, all the painting. Like we had Comcast installed our internet and left a scissor lift in there over the weekend, which was like, I don't know, some beautiful sign from somebody.
And then you're up there using. Oh my god!
We got all that pie painting. Sorry, Comcast, nothing. We didn't use it. I swear.
Oh,
but
that's hilarious.
We were up there painting. Right? You know, they're 15-20 foot ceilings, so we, you know, got really knocked that out in a weekend. It was great.
What would that have cost to get a scissor lift? Holy crap!
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, you just thank people for those little things.
Right? Yeah.
That
wasn't in the business plan.
No. And I mean, that's the thing too about, like, we talked about being frugal. I mean, we tried to like really identify anywhere in the business plan where we could save. And I think we were pretty successful doing that. And we love it. The, you know, the finished product is our.
So you decided not to do food, right?
We did.
Right. That was part of that was on purpose.
It was on purpose. You know, like the advice of starting with a 15 barrel brew house. You know, a lot of breweries said, you know, running a kitchen is a second business. So
totally.
And we're not restaurant people. That's not our passion. That's not what we know. So we wanted to keep it, Paul and I, we didn't want to bring on partnerships and to complicate the thing. So
I appreciate hearing that. Yeah, I get it. I originally had a business partner and a few years in, we kind of decided he didn't want to go in that same direction. And then my wife and I talked about it and she's like, well, I'll be your silent partner and we'll just roll forward this way. And,
yeah, sure.
And that has helped us stay nimble and make decisions that matched what we wanted. And when you have other partners, that's not necessarily how things can go. It does complicate things. Very true. You hear a lot of businesses that part ways because of that.
Yep.
So very forward thinking from your standpoint. I like that.
Thank you. And I mean, really, you know, having bought the building, gave us the leverage we needed to get the loan. There were a lot of things that fell into place to make us be able to keep that, you know, design, if you will.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, the restaurant thing was never really on the table for us.
Except for occasionally waffles, as you guys have posted about,
yeah,
right?
I almost segued into that earlier because Paul fell in love with the waffles when we were in Belgium.
Yeah. So, oh, as I was talking about that tour. Yeah, yeah. No doubt, right?
So yeah, so he,
I think I had one a day every time I was there.
And he really fell in love with them, especially the Liège style waffles, the ones that are like very yeasty and donut-like.
Oh gosh, ooh, I want one now.
So he's been R&Ding that recipe. So
how fun.
We're doing waffle Sundays. I look forward to that.
Yeah. Okay, waffle Sundays. Love it.
So at noon when we open on Sunday for, you know, 4 or 5 hours, depending on if we sell out and what the interest is that day, we're kicking out Belgian style waffles with fun toppings on them. You know, goes with the beer. It's great.
And you know, most people like waffles. I mean, yeah. It's not – you can't really anger people with that, right?
No. And Sundays and Mondays in Detroit are kind of weird. Like, there's not a ton to do
right
now. So we wanted to have just, like, that extra fun, you know, brunchy type option.
And brunch is still a pretty popular thing that a lot of breweries have latched on to bring people on days that were probably kind of deader days.
Yeah.
All right. That totally
is a good fit. We
definitely
see a lot more families too, which is cool. And I think waffles are one of those foods that please everybody. So,
who would have thought that?
Yeah. Yeah. Breweries, are becoming more and more family friendly places just in people's minds. I know some breweries make the decision not to do it, but we're just
going
with the flow.
Yeah. So. I feel like you just got to feel out the market and see. I think that's a hard thing. You know, I don't know. I got pros and cons either way. Like, my wife and I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm not against kids.
No.
I'm, you know, I want the business. I want it to make business sense. Now, I run a business that's 21 and over.
Right.
And occasionally we get asked those types of questions. But I think if you're a brick and mortar and you're serving the public, even though it is alcohol, I think you just figure it out. Yep. I think a lot of families, especially wherever the kids are in the age, a lot of parents have grown up now going to breweries.
Yeah.
You know, they're at that, and now they're all having kids. So, like, they don't want to stop doing that.
And I think, too, in other states and stuff, it's much more culturally accepted. Like, Michigan's interesting because a lot of our beer culture is like the brew pub culture, which is a restaurant.
Very true.
And
kind of the first wave part.
Yeah. Yep. And now taproom style is becoming more popular. But it was definitely more popular in other states first. You know, California and Denver come to mind first, but I feel like, you know, my best friend lives down in Texas, Houston area, and I've gone to visit her a few times, and she always takes me to several breweries when I'm down there, and like they're overrun with kids. Like, it is insane to me how many people are having kids in Houston. It's just like insane.
It's the heat.
I don't know what it is, but like, I've never seen so many children anywhere. And then breweries are like giant playgrounds. Like,
I was just in
sandboxes.
Yeah, like, I was just in San Antonio, and I agree. We went to like a half dozen breweries. Everyone was like
overrun.
That. Everyone, and we were just like, whatever. You know, we were just day drinking on vacation. Yeah. Like, we didn't care.
Yeah,
not like the kids were dumping my beers or something.
No.
You know, they're just having fun.
It's interesting culturally the differences from state to state. You know,
clearly Texas, they're all about it.
They're all
right.
About it,
they didn't even think twice about it. Yeah, that's true here. Mm-hmm. That's funny. I never thought about it. Brew pubs.
Yeah, but we welcome it. I mean, like, you know, Detroit, I think, is not overrun with kids. We've got our own issues with keeping families in the city and schools and everything.
Sure.
So, but the people that are here, you know, love to be able to have that option. I don't have any problem with it.
Do you think that would adjust your offerings at one point to have, like, I don't know, kid-friendly things on a menu? Like sodas or other beverages.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't pay attention to that when I was in there because I was all about trying your beer.
Yeah, we have sodas, and like I said, the waffles I think are cool.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay,
and you know, I think parents are generally pretty capable of knowing when it isn't appropriate. You know,
like, yeah, like I think so.
Noon to 6 on a Sunday is no big deal. Like, but if you're coming in at 10 p.m. on a Friday, it's different. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah.
And I think they know that. So, you know, you got to give people a little credit for.
You want to try to give them that credit, right? You want to say, all right, you were able to have a kid, so you had some sort of responsibility there. Something happened that was responsible.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty funny. So, wow. Well, what a easy hour. Like, just like that, right? It's just like, that's how it works.
Awesome.
So I'm super excited. I'm super excited to eventually be bringing groups in and see how you guys develop and grow and prosper. What a nice story to share as in December here and going into the holidays. So I look forward to hearing more about what you guys are doing and drinking more of your beer.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming, being my
fill-in.
My fill-in. But I don't want that to sound negative, right? Okay. It's not negative. And the other guest had real reasons why they couldn't like make it work. And yeah. It just happens, right?
It's
now, I'm glad you were available is what matters. And it was just good timing that I was just in last week and got to talk to you anyhow.
Absolutely.
And said, hey, at some point, I'm going to ask you this. And I just didn't think it'd be like two, three yeah. days later, right? So if people want to get more information about your brewery, yeah. how do they do it?
Well, first of all, come see us. You know, we're easy to get to. You know, I-75 down to Burner, right over to us. If you're in the burbs, you know, it's a great tap room. We're closed Mondays. We're open Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to 10, Friday, Saturday, noon to midnight, and Sunday, noon to 8. And it's just a fun place to hang out. We've got board games.
And then you go to your website, correct?
Go to my website.
Your beautifully designed website.
Thank you. Breweryfaison.com. We've got, as you mentioned earlier, an Instagram page that we're really good at updating. You can actually scroll back and see our whole construction process on there that I documented pretty well.
That's why I felt like I knew you.
Yes.
Because exactly. I've been watching it for like a couple of years.
And that's been such a really great rewarding experience is to have customers walk in, people that I don't know, that I've never met, that say, hey, I've been following you for 2 years. This is so exciting.
It's the power of social media.
It's really cool.
And if you do it right, like you've been yeah. doing, you've been putting great updates on there. You get people to get a little ownership of it. Like, I'm excited to see them get it open, and I want to come in and be part of that excitement.
Yeah,
so that's
absolutely.
That's pretty fun. So, Rachel, I want to thank you a lot for coming on.
Thank you.
Folks, stay tuned for 2020 in January when I'll have my next show. And I don't write it down. So I think I have Bo from Fillmore 13 Brewery in Pontiac, formerly a brewer down in Atwater. Now he works at Fillmore 13 in Pontiac downtown. And he should be on my January show. I'm going with that answer. Right?
Sounds
That'll be
good.
Episode 32. But check out Rachel's brewery and please get down there and support what she's doing because it's some great stuff. So I want to thank you for listening to the show today. Again, my name's Steve Johnson. I'm your host, MotorCityBrewTours.com. Check out our website. We got lots of great stuff. Or buy a gift certificate for us for the holidays and give it to all your friends because they want to come on one of our tours, man.
Sounds
MotorCityBrewTours.com. Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
I think you want one of those as
a
gift.
I think I do.
You probably could just get one because now you're a brewery owner and you get different privilege, right?
Oh, don't say that.
That's how it works. That's how this world works. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. Peace.